I normally do not encourage folks to use their cell phones during worship service, but if you have an early curfew, you probably ought to text Mama right now and tell her you're going to be late. I so much appreciate what we've heard. I thought a time or two I wanted to speak up and tell Brother Lonnie to tell us what he really thinks. But I've enjoyed and appreciate what Brother Lonnie has preached, what these other brethren have preached. I've been made to feel like a little boy walking among giants as these brethren have come before us and preached the doctrine of God's grace and His mercy to us. We've been wonderfully fed since last evening in the service. Able, sound, in my judgment, solid preaching, delivered in the power and Spirit of God, and I'm very thankful that we've been able to be here, be in your midst, and to have listened to these discourses that have been preached. Recently, I took a suit to the dry cleaners, and when it came back, they found a little notebook in my pocket, and they took that out and were very careful to label it. Misspelled my name, but they labeled very carefully, said this was Isaac's sermon notes. It was. That's exactly what it was. It was notes I took from a discourse Brother Mark Quarles preached earlier this year when I was in the congregation. So it was sermon notes. It just wasn't mine. Now, if I'd had notes tonight, I would have talked to you about conversion. But I want to deal with this expression Brother Lonnie used of our finite biological envelope.
Yeah.
That's an expression. I wish I had thought that one. Our finite biological envelope. What is that? What is that? That's our body, right? Where'd that come from? God made it.
Amen.
God created the heaven and the earth. And He formed man from the dust of the earth. That dust that God had created.
Right.
He formed a body from that. And He breathed into that body the breath of life. And it became a living soul. That man became a living soul. Now, if you think that a body that is made like our bodies are made could accidentally occur from some nondescript single cell evolving over time into a functional, well-organized physiological structure that has nerves, that has muscles, that has blood cells, that has the capacity to digest food, that has the capacity to inhale air, that has the capacity to burn the food that we eat with the air that we breathe. If you think all that could just accidentally evolve from a one-celled organism, you have a wilder imagination than any grandchild I have.
Yeah.
And I thought they had pretty good.
Yeah.
Now, that won't work. It takes a fool to believe that.
That's right.
Tonight. Bio means living. Ology means the study of. Biology is the study of living things. If you study living things, one of the first things that you will learn in a good high school biology class. Now, I taught those for 11 years, so I know a little something about how these work. One of the first things you will learn in a good high school biology class is that life must come from life.
Right.
One of the theories That is a hallmark discovery, one of the theories whose overthrow is a hallmark moment in science, is when a fellow named Pasteur finally proved that the theory of spontaneous generation is false.
Right.
That it cannot occur biologically.
Right.
Now, spontaneous generation means that a living thing comes into being from a non-living thing spontaneously. Scientists believe that at one time. Scientists know better today. Now, if they won't admit they know better, well, you can put the name to that. But they all have their part in the lake of fire. I thought they'd give you that. All right? They know better than that. If you talk to any leading scientist, biologist in the world today about diseases, they will tell you that it is impossible that a disease organism suddenly appear where there was no organism to produce it. They will deny at the most basic level that life can be produced or does spring from that which is not alive. They deny that. And then they turn around and say, the most complex being on the face of the earth, however, evolved from one cell. And they can't tell you where that one came from. Now that's self-contradictory.
Right. Right. Amen.
The text in the Psalm of David, where the Lord said, David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Right.
In my judgment, applies to the Lord Jesus Christ, not to you and me. David's not talking about us in that expression. Now, I've really been kind of aggravated. There's a sign in my hometown, Magazine, Arkansas, on Highway 10. You probably all, I'm the only one here that passes it. But the sign has been there for about 2 months now that says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Well, that's not what the text said. But the body of the Lord Jesus Christ was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary in a wonderful and in a way that only God was able to perform.
Right.
The Holy Ghost was the father of that child in a biological sense. But a process like that is involved in our coming into being, and God began that process. God gave the ability for that process to Adam. I do not believe that God creates each of our bodies individually, but I tell you, God gave that ability to Adam, and that ability is transferred from Adam to every successive generation, and I do believe God's in control of it.
Amen.
He's able to cause it. He's able to prevent it.
Amen.
There is a course of nature that does occur in the beginning of our individual bodies. But I tell you, it all comes through a DNA chain that began with Adam.
Right. Amen.
Right.
And incidentally, you can't put together a yo-yo from an explosion, and you sure can't put together DNA from an explosion.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Now that, the DNA replication process is fairly complicated, but it is so precise that it works with such accuracy that our kids look like us, whether that's a good thing or not. But this body is, this, the man said, finite. Well, finite. That means it has a known beginning, has a known end. Well, I'm not so sure about that. What happens to this body when it dies? It goes back to the dust. They don't know the end of the dust. You and I do.
Amen.
But they don't know the end of that dust. They believe that dust is just going to be dust forever. If you tell them that God's coming back someday and going to burn this earth up, they'll deny that. They don't know the end of this dust. But I do. You do. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 says, this mortal. Now that's the Bible word that they could have used for finite, or rather than finite, but they don't like that word because it sounds too biblical. So we use the word finite. That's okay. We understand their terminology. They don't understand ours. We're one up on them. That's okay with me. I never did like being behind in a discussion. This mortal. What's he talking about? This boy. This boy. This body that is mortal. This body that can die. This body that unless the Lord comes first, shall die. This mortal that will go back to the dust. This mortal which is at the present time the abode of our spirit and our soul, which will be gathered to God at our mortal death, at our corporeal death.
Amen.
That spirit and soul shall not die. One of our articles of faith says that we believe that every human has a never dying soul. And then we sing about where the soul never dies. Well, it doesn't die on earth, it doesn't die in heaven, and it doesn't die in hell. So we're all going where the soul doesn't die. Now, I understand the song, and I know it's talking about heaven, but there's a better description of heaven. Because the soul of man doesn't die.
Right.
This soul is not going to die when this body dies.
Right.
So our body is at this moment a container of a soul and spirit. But it is a part of us.
Right. Amen.
And the Bible identifies the body as being the man. When the widow's son died, and the prophet went in and stretched himself out. Did he stretch himself out on the body? On the shell? On the remains? No, he stretched himself out on the boy.
Right.
That's right.
Spirit and soul were... The boy died. What he stretched himself out on was the body, but it was the boy. Now, there are a few other places over in Scripture where the Bible, in the New Testament, where the body is spoken of as being the person. Don't say this is not Joe or Bill or Tom. It is.
Right.
But there is something that is not here that is also him.
Right. Amen.
When Jacob died, somebody quoted this text already today in Genesis 49. He gathered his feet into the bed and he was gathered to his people.
Amen.
Now, he had already given instructions that his body was to be taken back home and buried. He wanted it buried where Abraham and Sarah were buried, where Isaac and Rebekah were buried, and where he buried Leah. He wanted his body taken back to the family cemetery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. But he gathered his feet into the bed and he was gathered unto his people, and it was 70 days after that before they even started to take his body back. He was gathered to his people 70 days before they took his body on the journey back to the family cemetery.
Right.
Being gathered to his people's not talking about being buried in the same cemetery with them.
Right.
It's talking about his spirit and his soul going into the paradise of God.
Amen.
With his people who had died. That's what happens at death.
Amen.
I'm telling you, this mortal must put on. It's not that it could. It's not that it might. It's not that it ought to. But it must.
Amen.
Now, we're not talking about what man's going to do. We're talking about what God's going to do.
Amen. Amen.
This mortal must put on immortality. How's that going to happen? God's going to have to do it.
Amen.
You don't know how. I don't know how. And there's no man or woman on the face of the earth that has the first clue about how to put immortality onto this mortal. We don't know. You and I would not be able to go to the old cemeteries of the world and find the dust that is there. That is the body of one of God's children who has died. But God knows where it is.
Amen.
No man knows where Moses was buried, but God knows.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, when the Lord of glory comes, this mortal shall put on immortality because it must put on immortality because God has purposed that it shall put on immortality.
Amen.
Does that make sense? What God has purposed is going to happen. It must be. If God's purpose does not happen, God is overthrown. And God shall not be overthrown.
Amen.
I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Paul, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, said, and I pray the God of all peace, grace. I've got all. I don't know how to quote it. First, you can read it. 1 Thessalonians 5, right at the end of the chapter. I pray that you might be preserved, is what I want. Holy, soul, body, and spirit. Paul believed in the preservation of the soul, in the preservation of the spirit, and in the preservation of the body.
Right.
Paul knew these bodies are going to die. He said the Lord had shown him that the time of my departure is at hand. Paul knew this body was going to die. He knew it was going to go back to the dust, but he believed God would keep that body. Job said, now see, you know from Old Testament, oldest book, to the New Testament, this doctrine runs throughout. Job said, although my skin worms devour this flesh, yet in my flesh shall I see God. I tell you, the doctrine of the resurrection is true.
Amen.
It is a biblical principle that this body which dies shall be raised, shall be made immortal.
Amen.
Now, it's not a matter of we transcend our body. We die, and our soul and spirit leave this body, and we don't leave it by our power, but I believe God takes our soul and spirit out of our body, and our body goes back to the dust. But my friend, God's not overthrown in that. He's preserving our body while it sleeps in the tomb.
Amen.
Now, look, I don't believe that doctrine that the Lord sanctified the grave by going there. And that in John 14, when he said, in my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. I know some of our brethren think that's the grave. They can have it. I don't want it. The place he prepared for us is in heaven.
Amen. Amen.
He prepared a place for us in heaven for dying for us. By dying for us. But my friend, we're going to go to that place, and we're going soul, body, and spirit.
Amen.
I don't believe we're all going soul, body, and spirit all at the same time. If we die before the resurrection, soul and spirit are going ahead, body will come later. In those though who are alive and remain when the Lord comes, they'll be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, and they'll all go together. Soul, body, and spirit all go together into heaven.
Amen.
Made immortal. Now, this finite biological envelope, which is the visible part of us, which is a vital part of us, which is a very real part of us, and which was purchased by the Son of God.
Amen.
On the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
That's right.
Now, I believe that when Jesus comes again, he's going to pick up everything he bought.
Amen.
Right, right.
I've used this illustration a few times, and I may have used it here. If I have, well, you just give me a minute, and I'll get through with it real quick. How many of you ever went to McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, whatever. Place your order at the stump. Proceed to the next window and get most of what you ordered and drive away. Put a car full of kids. You ever done that? Four kids and three orders of French fries. It doesn't work out well. You're 3 miles down the road, running late to wherever you're going anyway, before you get your French fries counted and know you're one order of fries short. You could go back and hope they'd give you that order of fries, but you don't have time, so what happens? You make four servings of fries out of what should have been three, and you drive on, right? And you have a bad day the rest of the day because they got to you for the price of an order of fries. Any of you been there?
Yeah.
It happened.
Yeah.
I can tell you, when the Lord comes back, He's not going to be short an order of fries. And He's not going to be short one of those.
Amen.
He's going to have everything He bought.
Amen.
That's right.
He's not coming to take part of His home. He's going to say to the Father, Father, here am I and the children which Thou givest me.
Amen.
We have three children, wife and I. Two of them are very communicative and the other is not. When I call home, when I'm away from home on a trip, I call home, I say, how are you? Any news? Have you heard from the kids? She always tells me what the two girls said, and the boy never comes up. So sometimes I ask her, well, have you seen Judge? Well, I saw him out in his yard. We can see his house from ours, but it's a good thing or we wouldn't know he exists, I guess. Yeah, I saw him go get the mail or something, you know. He's alive. Saw it move. But you see, when I ask about the children, I want to know about him the same as I want to know about the girls.
Amen.
Are you all willing? Do you have a child you'd just be willing to forget? Say, as long as I heard from all of them but one today, it'll be fine. As long as I know all of them but one's okay, I'll be satisfied. Yeah. No, my friend, and God Himself is not willing to be deprived of one child for whom the Lord Jesus died on the cross.
Amen.
He paid the price for that child, and He'll have that child home with Him in glory.
Amen.
I tell you, they're going to all be there. In an immortal state. Now, their soul's going to be immortal. Their spirit's going to be immortal. And thank God, their body.
Amen.
And I wish I'd just quit saying, there, it's ours. I believe it's ours. Our soul, our spirit, our body shall all be preserved blameless.
Amen.
Unto the coming of the Lord. When we shall rise to meet Him in the air. This mortal, this body, that is sown in weakness shall be raised in power. Right. It's not going to the grave to come out a sick body.
Right.
It's not going to the grave to come out ravaged with cancer. It's not going to the grave to come out afflicted with dementia. It's not going to the grave to come out lame or halt or blind or deaf. It's going to come out of the grave in the power of God.
Amen.
And God's power that moves and stirs within our very beings tonight. God's working that causes this great change in us when we're changed from dead in trespasses and sins to a life in Christ will raise us up in a power that will cause us. I wanted to use a big word and didn't have one. That will cause us, compel us to praise Him with this tongue that is now mortal. And I shall look upon Him with immortal eyes which are now mortal.
Yeah.
These eyes,
yeah,
my friend, as Job said, shall behold Him and not another. That's my hope tonight.
Amen.
That's my hope.
Amen.
If there's nothing to this body but a finite envelope for whatever is inside me, then my hope's very little. But I am telling you tonight, I believe that this body, though it's a house of sin, though it's the cause of much weakness, though it's a great hindrance to us sometimes while we travel through this world, it's going to come forth from the grave in the greatest pronouncement of victory over a foe that has been conquered that's ever been. When the Son of God shall come and shall speak with that life-giving voice. And all y'all going to be caught up together, brother. All at one time.
Amen.
To meet the Lord in the air.
Yeah.
Now, I believe there's some bodies in the cemetery that are not going to go home to be with the Lord.
Right.
But they're coming out. And I tell you just exactly which day those are coming out. They're going to come out the same day the others do.
Yeah, right.
And if you'll allow me, I'll whittle it down a little closer. They're going to come out the same minute those others do.
Right.
I believe that. Yep. I don't believe the Lord's going to have to wait around a while, 1,000 years or so, and give them another whack at it. He hasn't given us a chance to start with. Can't give us a second one. Never gave us a first one.
Amen.
I tell you, God's not a God of chance, and God's not a God of accident, and God's not a God of wait and see how it turns out. Our God is a God of purpose.
Amen.
He's a God of power.
Amen.
He's a God of ability. He's a God of wisdom.
Amen.
We sang a hymn tonight, Wisdom Drew the Noble Plan.
Yeah.
That's the wisdom of God. I love that thought. God devised me. And when those means have all been brought to bear, we'll be with Him in glory. And there won't be anybody saying it's ever going to end.
Amen.
There's not going to be anybody talking about us being finite when we get home. No, sir. I don't expect to use the word infinite either. I really think we're going to talk about it eternal if we talk about anything. God's gift is eternal life.
Yeah.
He redeemed us with an eternal redemption.
Right.
And we have an eternal home. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
Amen.
Wife and I, in 1985, built the house we live in now. Hired it, girl. And we've raised our children there. We've entertained company. This is a plug to get you to come see me. We've entertained lots of old Baptists there. And we love to entertain old Baptists in that house. But this week she came to me and she said, you know, there's a problem in here. And I'm afraid it's serious and I want you to come look at it. Well, when I went into the kitchen and looked, I said, we need to get somebody to look at this. We, you know, there's a problem here that's above my pay grade. And so while I've been on this trip, we've been talking a little bit. And she's making arrangements trying to get that repair before part of it falls in on us. So, you know, serious issue. See, everything here fades away. Everything. But nothing over there fades away.
Amen.
I'm the Lord, I change not. He's made for us an eternal house. A building of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
Amen.
I long to see it. Now, I'm not suicidal. Don't get excited. But I long to see it.
Amen.
I long to look on heaven. There is something missing in my life, in this world, on the best day I ever have.
Amen.
I love, Brother Lonnie, to have my children at home. I love to have my grandchildren at home. I love to have my mother and father yet living. I love to have them come visit. I love to have my siblings there and their families, my nieces and nephews. I love to have the family together. I love to go to church at home and have, I'd love to have all the members present, but a couple of hours are no longer able to meet with us in service. They're confined to nursing homes, and they'll never be there again. We understand that. But I love for all those who are able to be there to be there. But I tell you, we can go to church, and the attendance be good, and the service be good, and the service be blessed, and we can go home and have all the family at home for a family dinner in the evening. And still in that day, there's a longing left in me for something more. Always. You know when I'm going to get over that? The first moment I look at Jesus' face. I believe that longing will be gone. And when our bodies are brought to heaven, and we wake with His likeness, as the psalmist said, I'll be satisfied.
Amen.
I long for it. I thank you for your goodness.